I always felt like I'd be embarrassed to have 7 foreigners on the team.
My God.
Response? Don't
bitch about it. Go change it. Get involved. Get involved in the sport. Get involved in leadership. And make change the way change is supposed to be made. Otherwise, shut up and coach your team. That's what I think.
I was losing my mind. Like, we were shouting at the TV.
She is former professional runner. Actually, a Comm Games champ.
Some people don't like the word retirement. Some people are like,
I'm retired. I'm very retired. Yeah.
Actually, the main reason you're on, former teammate of Morgan McDonald. So while he's not here, we can just
get all the secrets from Team Boss Days, Morgan McDonald.
You're a professional podcaster as well, so.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know how.
Former professional athlete that I know George and I love.
Yeah, Eric Jenkins is.
Love's a strong word.
I'm really lucky that I don't have a single regret. I could like look in the mirror and be like, I am no longer world class. Like, this sucks. This is just the cost of doing business. People aren't going to sponsor a turd.
Find out more on the Coffee Club podcast.
Okay.
Like and subscribe.
Coffee Club. Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast. This is episode 208. We're your hosts, George and Ollie, holding it down while Morgan is just gallivanting around the globe.
Our dear leader. Our dear leader has left us and forsaken us to the Southern Hemisphere.
He has. And very excitingly, we have a guest in the studio.
Yeah. We pulled it out. We actually got somebody in.
We really did. And and one we've been lining up for a while. All it took was Morgan leaving.
Yeah.
It helped to make it happen. Yeah. She is former professional runner. Still an athlete. She was trying to tell me she's not an athlete anymore. Actually, a Comm Games champ. 2 Commonwealth Games champions sitting on one couch. Unbelievable.
You don't get that very often.
World Athletics Athlete Commission member. Also, just big time podcast host. Aisha Prott-Lea, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm so great. I'm so happy to be here. This is incredible. Your whole setup is elite and professional. And I'm stunned. I mean, is this
the dream for the
dream.
For the Off the Rails?
This is the dream.
We'll give you guys a plug.
Yeah.
It is called Off the Rails.
Yes, correct.
What does that even mean?
Off the rails.
Like a track rail?
Yeah. It's a double entendre. So off the rail, you want to be, you know, on the rail, but off the rail. But we're not necessarily like safe for work. It's gone off the rails is the other meaning.
Well, this podcast goes off the rails quite frequently, so you're very at home here.
Yeah, it really is. No, we got a bit lined up for today. Actually, the main reason you're on, former teammate of Morgan McDonald. So while he's not here, we can just
get all the secrets from Team Boss Days, Morgan McDonald.
I guess we're all former teammates of Morgan.
It feels like we're just like an ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend club, and Morgan
just keeps abandoning
us. Eskimo brothers and sisters, Morgan's teammate.
Like the Leonardo DiCaprio meme where it's just like 25 years old, it gets to that time where he's like, it's time to move on.
Yeah. But we're going to do a small, I'm not even going to call it a recap. It's an NCAA, I don't know.
For how well we covered it last week, yeah.
Exactly. Basically expect that, but the aftermath version of what we think was interesting. And then we'll get into some Aisha lore.
Yeah.
And also happy Thanksgiving. This is Thursday, I think.
This will be the Thanksgiving. I hope that you guys aren't watching this on Thanksgiving, but if you are, make sure that everybody on the table is watching. I know we've asked you in the past how you watch Coffee Club, and a lot of you force your partners and friends to watch us. So if that's the case, do it in a setting where everyone's thankful for Coffee Club being up on the screen.
I mean, I feel like at this point, it's like Lions, Cowboys, Coffee Club pod, right?
Yeah.
Like
two monitors.
That's what happens every year on Thanksgiving. Like the Lions have to play, the Cowboys have to play, and Coffee Club pod is on.
Yeah.
It's on the TV.
It's a tradition, yeah.
We come out at 2 p.m. That's like basically football.
Basically football time. So we have like, you know, 2-screen section.
I take it back, actually. It's Coffee Cup Pot and then it's
Lions and Cowboys. We're above the Lions and the Cowboys for sure, yeah.
So I hope someone's split-screening us. You know that like YouTube or TV where you can choose your three screens?
That'd be
know?
Excellent.
If anybody does do that, please take a photo and send it to
I
doubt it will, but that would be great content.
Or even just edit it in. Like maybe it's not real.
Slightly different physiques. It's like us on one screen and then like massive NFL people on another screen. Like same, but different.
Yeah. Just get the wide spectrum of athletes just doing their thing during Thanksgiving.
Oh, he's been bashing on turkey all day already.
I mean, like, this is my hot take with Thanksgiving. I just think turkey's super overrated, but it's
not,
a big
not
thing.
Even a hot take.
I don't think it's a hot take, but like, so my last Thanksgiving, I made short rib lasagna. I know George is a big like red meat lover. I just feel like red meat needs to make more of a dominant stay when it comes to Thanksgiving. I don't know, Aisha. I don't know what you think. I mean,
you've been to one of my Thanksgivings.
I have been to one. I was very great, like fortunate enough from the gracious hosts of Will Lear and Aisha to come to your place and have an amazing Thanksgiving. I know you guys love hosting that. This year you're in
we're in LA.
You're in LA. Yeah. So you're moving on from that, which is a shame, but hopefully next year.
Next year.
It's supposed to be fucking freezing here. So
yeah, it's gonna be cold. You chose a good time to leave.
Great.
Yeah. But we have been bashing on the turkey.
That's honestly fair. Like a poorly prepared turkey is worst case scenario. Like the driest, most terrible, tasteless situation. So you gotta brine it, you gotta lock it in, you gotta maybe smoke it. Treat it well, but Americans don't really eat a lot of lamb, and I think lamb
is a really good
Thanksgiving would be a great option.
What a take.
You're preaching to the choir.
What a take. I love it.
New Zealand lamb specifically.
Yeah.
Go get down your local Whole Foods. It's in the behind the glass.
It's
direct from Beamish Farms.
Yeah, from Beamish Farmland.
So good.
It's actually on sale right now, so I think
it is.
Maybe
I did check it.
Maybe people do have it.
Is the farm actually called Beamish Farms?
No, it's called Awapai, like the actual land. But
okay,
maybe there was at some point the company was called Beamish Farms. It's not anymore.
No, because I checked. We did some research on that because I wanted to make sure I was buying the right lamb. Otherwise,
but it is in Whole Foods.
Yeah,
is your family like direct sending you lamb to power your?
They should. They should be.
I wish.
Yeah, should they?
No, I don't even get a discount. I'm trying. I'm trying the beef especially. Like it's sold in the US and. I don't even get a discount right now. I'm working on it, right?
Whole Foods gets that, the lamb and the beef, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they do.
Because we checked a few years ago. But do you and Will, who's in charge of the turkey? Who's in charge of that really important responsibility?
It's a combined effort. It's like I prepare and then I alley-oop it to him who then
does
the cooking. He will smoke the turkey, but days in advance, we'll like get it in the brine, get it ready, line it up, and then he can just...
All right, just best dish quickly.
Mashed potatoes.
Mashed potato.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
You've taken mashed potatoes. It's not a dish, but I like this. Can I do a two-part, if it's not a dish, stuffing and gravy? I do love some stuffing.
Yeah, that works.
Sometimes there's ham there.
Ham is good.
Ham's okay.
Thanksgiving ham. You go
I'm going to Thanksgiving where there's just like different types of meats.
just all
it's
the
just
meats.
Only meat.
I was going to say potatoes as well, but like...
Do you like yams?
Like the sweet potato marshmallow thing? Oh, no. Fuck no.
It's a weird combo.
It's terrible.
It's a weird combo.
I don't like the sweet savory combo stuff.
Yeah, I kind of just like to separate that a little bit as well.
Thanksgiving is the best. I think outside of the turkey, which if you fuck it up, it sucks. Thanksgiving is the best holiday and it's the best meal. Like I'm thinking about all the things I'm excited to eat. And my mouth is watering.
Also, it's a good, like, I think with Christmas, you have a similar vibe. However, there's the whole, like, present thing. Like, I just like the Thanksgiving idea of, like, you're with your friends. You're thankful for being a part of a really amazing group of people. And you're eating. Football's on. Everyone's having a nap. It's fantastic.
Perfect.
I like the simplicity of that. Just being with your friends and enjoying that company.
So wholesome for Ollie.
He's a family man.
He is.
I enjoy it. But sometimes people have, you know, different variations. Friendsgiving is always fun. I did a Friendsgiving recently. I made spicy, sticky pork ribs because I can't touch turkey. I'm too scared of it. But also, I've already shared my opinions on that. But Friendsgiving is also, I really enjoy it too. I love that people were making little lead ups to it. But that's our Thanksgiving talk, I guess. We've gone through.
NCAA cross.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Time to get into what we
happened
what we
only
know.
Yesterday. And... Actually, I was impressed by that course. Dude, I wanted to run on that thing.
It looks awesome.
It looks sick. I feel like
I was having flashbacks to Terre Haute thinking if we ran on this course, things would have been a lot different.
Do you reckon Do you reckon this course was more spectator friendly than Terre Haute? Do you think spectators enjoyed that course
not
more?
Not spectator friendly if you were on the inside of any turn.
Yeah.
Because you were probably getting, you're getting absolutely bulldozed by half the field.
That's was the one thing. It's like, I'm
how do we feel about that?
I'm interested that it's not getting, I think it's not getting enough attention, to be honest.
Okay, you've run Nuddycombe though. That first turn.
I know what you're talking about.
Sometimes you get pushed into the long grass.
To be fair.
Just simply by the field being massive.
To be fair, that's the first turn that's massive. This is like into the race.
And multiple times.
It was pretty
times,
ridiculous.
Multiple times. Yeah, when they were on that little loop, people were just taking the inside line and, like, so aggressively. Like, there were hay bales set up inside of the spray painted line and they were running inside of the hay bales. They were like creating a different course. It was insane. I was losing my mind. Like, we were shouting at the TV, like, what is going on? Disqualify, disqualify. Like, insane, insane.
Do we think that is on, like, the course? Like, should they just have had more bigger hay bales? Or did they just expect better from the athletes? Like, who's
that
on?
Well, the women didn't do it. Just the men.
It was just the men, yeah.
Mm, true.
They're
okay.
Usually also, like, if you look at Nuddycombe, which is a very good spectator course.
What's on the inside of those turns?
It's similar, but the problem with Nuddycombe is just a line. But
or is it fenced?
No, it's not fenced. Oh. Well, certain places are fenced. However, you can't run on the inside because there's so many fans just lined up on the. It's just like you're running through a crowd shoot. Like, you can't cut into the course. Whereas in this course, it wasn't spectator friendly. So people were able to get away with going around the corners and the edges. And they probably should have set up, like, you know, the old classic, like, metal pole rope situation.
Yeah.
Particularly in certain sections.
Metal pole. That would have gone. That would have been painful.
Well, the metal stick thing. I don't know what to.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But
stake.
That should have probably happened. I mean, NCAAs, we didn't cover it very well last week, Aisha, but the interesting thing with this was there was a bit of beef beforehand with some of the coaches spewing facts. Usually it's the athletes that are causing a bit of push and shove.
I didn't see a single clip from an athlete press conference. It was just
the coaches stole the show.
The coaches were just going off. And honestly, I'm here for it. I kind
love
of enjoy it. It's bringing in attention.
Day before the race, the coaches are going off at each other. Like,
love it.
Absolutely. Get that. Keep that coming.
Was it interesting? I mean, I guess I don't follow all the new rules and all the changes and everything like that with things, but we've got three foreigners on this couch still, even with Morgan gone. So I'm interested to see your take on that kind of conversation between Dave and what was the BYU's coach name?
Ed Eystone.
His name's what?
Ed Eystone.
And Ed Eystone.
Doesn't that sound like a supervillain?
It does. It sounds like somebody that owns like LexCorp or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, similarly, Dave Smith just sounds also like a made-up name. Dave Smith and Mike Smith, like, come on. That's not real.
It is crazy that they could be, like, related in some way. Do you think, George?
No, I don't know about related is the right word. But first seen Slubby Cross without Mike Smith, too, actually.
I mean, I heard it was like when you win the NBA Finals, if you win the National Cross Country, you get a phone call from Mike Smith congratulating you. Because, you know, he's the godfather of dynasties, isn't he, George?
Well, now you get it from Dave Smith, though.
Yeah. You just go from Dave Smith instead. But
he goes off on you.
He was going off. He was not holding back, which was an interesting discussion.
I loved it. If somebody wants to read the quotes.
I got it right here. Yeah. Who came first? Eystone?
Eystone did, yeah.
All right. Quote, some coaches have decided to take a shortcut by taking foreign talent. Many are older and developed. I always felt like I'd be embarrassed to have 7 foreigners on the team.
My God.
Response? If someone doesn't like a rule or doesn't like a situation in these NCAA, don't bitch about it. Go change it. Get involved. Otherwise, shut up and coach your team. I wish you said shut the fuck up.
Yeah, look, I know there's been talks and issues with older athletes coming in. I don't think anybody in the NCAA has issues with foreign people coming in because that's been going for the NCAA for years. I mean, I remember a lot of Aussies coming over well before my time, coming in and running incredible. I mean, Pat Tien and Morgan McDonald, both NCAA champions, and they both came in at an appropriate age. I think the more issue is if you have like a 28-year-old freshman coming in, that is probably an issue
that's
if they're more developed athlete, you know. But the foreigner thing was interesting for him to say. But also, doesn't BYU have the mission thing where they go off and develop for like 3 years and come back? So like,
I'd
really,
say they get probably significantly worse at running in that time.
That is true. That is true.
But like, as you get older, especially on the men's side.
Yeah.
When you're developing in from a boy to a man, it is advantageous no matter if you if you ran or you didn't. If you didn't take a single running step for 2-3 years, like you're still in a more advantageous physiological place.
Yeah.
You've grown.
So you interesting, he didn't mention that. He mentioned the foreigner thing.
Well,
he said
age and development. Like he sort of qualified it. But like back in my day, I remember Miles Batty being like 3 years older than me, like absolutely smoking the kids in the NCAA, a full grown man.
Yeah.
So a little pot calling the kettle black there. But I loved Mike Smith. I was doing Eric and I broke this down on our pod yesterday, and I kept calling Dave Smith Mike Smith. It's just habit. Yeah,
that's all right. Mike Smith thinks my name's Owen. So
yeah, I don't know that Mike Smith knows who I am.
Nah, he doesn't know who I am. You know, he thinks I'm Owen Hacker.
That's tough
because he called on the podcast for episode 100. He's like, "You, Owen, Georgian, doing a great job." And then Morgan's like laughing, thinking that's hilarious. That's he doesn't even know his name.
Yeah. So. No, obviously the landscape has changed a lot in the last few years. NIL mostly. And then I think just like the flow on effect of NILs is that there are now opportunities for companies to get involved in recruiting and taking cuts of NIL money, basically becoming agents. And so, yeah, there are some rules that you could either say are being taken advantage of, or that's just like the reality. They're just like staying within the rules for now, and yeah, maybe there will be rule changes in the future if they want to like balance this out in some way. But
what was the one you mentioned? You said, like, was it you that mentioned it on the run that I quite like that rule? It's like if you come in and you're 20, that was Kai. Kai mentioned shout out Kai Robinson. Sorry, I misdirected who it was. I misattributed. Thank you. But I think you said you have to finish at 25, wasn't it? Like you have to finish NCAA running at 25. So you come in at 23, you have 2 years.
I love that.
In at 20, you have your 5 years.
Yeah, something like he said, once you turn
25, you can't.
20 or 21, your 5 years starts.
Yeah.
And like you get however many you get based on when you start.
So if you come in at 24, you have 1 year. And I think that's a fair thing because this is college. And the whole point of that was, I don't think that the international thing is the issue, because like looking back on it, I'm sure a lot of Americans too are very, very grateful that it's so competitive because it makes them better.
Right.
And winning an NCAA title is such a massive deal. I mean, Americans just winning it alone is, particularly in cross, like I think it's a very foreign won title. But yeah, I think that's a good idea by Kai.
I think at the end of the day, we have to decide what we want the NCAA to be. Mm. And in the past, it's been a development platform.
Yeah.
And there are incredible performances that happen. People that can go compete immediately on the international world-class stage, but historically it's been a development platform. So if we want to retain the development platform, I think an age limit makes the most sense. But I think that there are actually a lot of people, unfortunately, I would call them not cool people, who think, who don't like the idea of foreign athletes being at their school or in the NCAA. And my experience as an athlete has been shaped a lot by, and mostly by, athletes from other countries. Like, I think that there is like a discipline and a desire that if you leave like the comfort of your home country to go somewhere else and to like pursue something really hard, like you're stuck in, and like you really want that. And my college teammates that I spent a lot of time with were from Barbados, and like they just had they brought more of a professionalism and like desire and discipline to their training that like I learned a lot from. And then going to OTC was like a super international program too. Mm. And I learned so much from, you know, Kenyan athletes, Ethiopian athletes, British athletes, Irish athletes. It was just like, there is wealth and knowledge of other places. Like, we are better in more diverse places. So I think it's there, like, yeah, there are people that don't want that. And I think that maybe they just like haven't had the experience. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they just like haven't had those great experiences that like we've all been able to have.
Yeah. And I don't think, coming from that coach as well, I don't think BYU is a very international school. No. It's a very American school. And like, I mean, Colorado for a long
Rory
time.
Rory Linklater. Make sure.
Oh yeah, Canadian.
Yeah.
Well, and I think like Colorado for a long time under Wetmore, did not recruit. I remember, I think, did you ever send an email to Colorado? I think I sent an email.
Definitely didn't get a reply.
I got a response.
I think they just had a flat rule.
I had a response because I didn't know.
US only.
I didn't know. And he said, best of luck in your journey, but we do not recruit internationals. And I think the reasoning was he wanted to develop American talent, which is fine. But
yeah, they also can happy to decide that. Like, no one's forcing anyone to take foreign athletes.
But if Wetmore's reasoning is, I want to develop American guys and I'm not going to recruit internationals, he's not saying explicitly, you can't come here.
That it's wrong.
He's saying this is how I want to operate my program. And in general, I believe, looking through my career in the NCAA as well as you two, I imagine, is a lot of the internationals and the Americans brought into what they became, that like that bridge, that development to becoming the top world class. Like, I don't think Grant Fisher would be Grant Fisher without Morgan McDonald. I don't think George and I would be here without each other. I don't think even like a lot of the top guys coming in through the NCAA would say that guy who's a foreigner made my experience worse. It probably made it development better of like, this is a guy that I'll probably compete on the world stage and I get a chance and opportunity early on to compete against them. So I think that's something that is overlooked, and I think it's the age problem.
I think Aisha's right. If the NCAA decides it wants to be a developmental league and not a professional league, then age and like NIL income
matters.
Both have to be almost like cap, because if you can just make like unlimited money in college, then it's just nothing to incentivize you to turn professional, basically.
I mean, we joked
and
about
same
like,
with an age. If you can be any age and make any amount of money, then there's no difference between NCAA and professional.
Let me go back to the NCAA.
We joked about Drew Hunter going back. Like, Drew could definitely go back compete now.
Totally.
Like,
you got 5 years. Just
got 5 years eligibility. I think I have 2 years if I want to go back. So it's just that sort of thing is like, well, at the end of the day, if you want to keep it a developmental situation, like a bridge for a lot of athletes to take that next step, then that definitely needs to be addressed. But
and their Americans still throwing down. Rocky Hansen.
I mean,
Jane
looked good the last section. I mean, to be honest, it's always cross. I don't know how, like, when you, it's hard to measure, like, is he gonna get him? Because there's like, it could be 5 meters where it's like, oh, he's coming at him. But
that move from Hepton was so sick.
It was.
Like, basically, I don't know if he just like crossed the 8K mark and was like, all right, I'm going to sprint right now.
With the backwards hat.
But that was like the most decisive move I've seen in a while. He just like sprinted for like 100 meters, gapped the field, and then held everyone off.
It was honestly so sick.
That was very cool to watch.
Yeah. If I had the ability to do that in my body, like that's the move I would pull all the time.
How good do you have to feel it?
He said he felt very good. He was ready to go. I mean, this is a guy too that's been runner-up twice before, so you can imagine his desire to just get out in front and just hold it.
Was that to Blanks both time?
I think it was. Blanks was, he was like double.
I think he won two in a row.
It was the same because they swapped jerseys the last time that they met, which was actually kind of sweet.
Yeah.
But to get that win for him, I can imagine it's like, I'm not coming second in this race.
He's probably visualized this for months.
Yeah, he'd be like, I'd rather just blow out and go to the back or just win this race. I think another second would have been hard, but he made them work for it the last 2K.
If anyone was wondering if Rocky Hansen was legit or not.
Well, that should answer that question.
He did run 13.0s last year. We looked up. But, I mean, there's like 26.50 guys. He's in between, basically.
Yeah.
He's going
to
be...
And head-to-head competition matters to me so much more than a time on a paper.
100%. Particularly in cross-country, because you can't judge a course. It's all about the athlete's ability to win or to beat the other athletes. So, and also, shout out to Gary Martin as well.
Gary.
I didn't recognize him.
I like.
When he went across the line, I didn't recognize him.
Seventh, I think.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah.
How could you not recognize him?
What do you mean?
Such a look.
He didn't have his glasses on, did he?
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Oh, I must have missed it. I walked. I was like, is that him? He doesn't have his glasses on.
That's how people feel watching you.
I was like, I must have wigged out and just saw it. But I was like, where is he? Because I was looking for him. He was near the front most of the way, right?
Yeah, he was up there.
I was looking forward to seeing him race. That's pretty good. Was he top American?
Also very good from a... Oh, no, Rocky.
Rocky was top American.
But very good from a 3:48 miler.
Yeah. Cross country is so hard.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, mid-D wise, that's probably one of the top performances. I can't think of another mid-D guy that's performed pretty well like that.
Well, I mean, in that case, then
Salami, 16th, there's a 144 runner.
That's very good, too.
That's nuts.
That's actually pretty nuts. I do have, I'd give him, give him a shout out for that.
Move to the 15.
Yeah, honestly, he probably could run a really good 15 right now if he's doing that. He's got the natural ability for sure.
Yeah, that's insane.
Shout out to the NAU Dynasty, though. They did okay. They did okay. I think we were...
8th place on both sides?
We were still top 10. Like
I was pretty impressed. Yeah.
Cornfield's keeping them honest.
Nah, that was very respectable.
Yeah, I think so too.
What did Wisconsin mean finish?
I have no idea. I honestly have no idea. They were third at Big Tens, and I remember Morgan and I were talking about it, and I think the women's and the men's punched their ticket, but I was not sure. I don't think they were top 10. But they're a developmental team. They're going to come through in the end. There's time there.
Illinois State? How did they go?
They weren't there.
Do they ever go?
No.
Did they go when you were there?
Nope.
Did you go?
Nope.
You didn't go on your own?
No. Isn't that crazy?
What region is?
12th
is that Great
in
Lakes?
The Midwest.
Oh, Midwest.
In the Midwest region and didn't make it.
That's crazy.
How did...
Midwest would have been pretty deep.
It was really deep.
Yeah,
it was
how like, did you qualify? Super deep. You got to be
as an individual?
Five. Don't you? With callback.
Like with
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So you probably with were people 12, that aren't on you were probably like maybe like a couple spots
I was probably
off.
Like sixth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're probably like one spot off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Also, finishing off the men's side, Iowa State didn't perform as well as I thought they would. 100
well,
points
their,
off.
One of
the
their
third.
Guys got wiped out trying to jump a hay bale.
Trying to hurdle the hay bale.
That was Iowa State?
That was Iowa State.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I thought that was somebody else.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, then that's what you get for trying to cut the course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Commentators didn't even notice either. It's just like...
They finally at the end, they said something about it. But man, it's like, you were a bad boy, so you got caught.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he was asking for that.
Yeah.
Needed his hurdle technique.
Yeah,
improved.
He just wasn't
cutting the course enough.
He needs some tips from.
He needed to cut the course even more, so he was on the inside of the hay bale.
It was just way on the inside. So the women didn't cut the course at all, but it seemed like it was a battle for first and second as well, right, George? Well, I missed it because we were at practice, but
yeah, it was Doris Lemongole versus Jane Hedengren.
Hedengren
is how I'm
Hedengren.
Hedengren. Not Hendigren, which
not Hendigren.
Yeah,
is that what they keep
Hedengren.
Saying?
Well, that's what I thought her name was. We figured it out.
Well, you're teaching all of us then.
Yeah, we're learning. Well, did you get to see the race? Because
I
didn't get to watch.
It was just like a 1v1. It was pretty sick.
Yeah, it was pretty sick. There's that last long uphill, and Doris was just like putting Jane up against the ropes, but Jane did such a good job at like. She yo-yoed a few times.
Is Jane a freshman?
Yeah, true freshman.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous. And Doris Lemongole, fifth at Tokyo World Championships in the steeple. Like, the true definition of a world-class runner.
Yeah.
And a 19-year-old or 18-year-old is on the heels. But yeah.
She's a beautiful runner to watch as well.
Oh, God.
So,
Jane?
Yeah.
Oh, I think we were saying Doris.
Doris.
Yeah, Doris. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I love watching
perfectly.
I love watching her run. I was sad to miss it when the race went down because I did hear that like there was potential for Jane. People were backing her that she could win it.
Yeah.
Which is a true
freshman. I think she was the favorite.
Yeah, I think she was the favorite, but I don't really get that.
Really?
I think the hype was just very high.
Which it should be for a true freshman.
And she, I guess, won her region by like 45 seconds. Like that's legit. But I do think like...
Maybe she shouldn't have done that. Maybe she should have
chilled
the cards
last week.
Just chilled a little bit. I mean,
it's
it
only
was
a week
close.
Before. Like,
yeah. It was close. Maybe she just needed a little bit of reserve.
Mm. Yeah. Good. Kiwi girl came fifth.
Hannah Gapes.
From NC State.
Cool.
Honestly, didn't really know who that was beforehand.
Well,
so shout out.
There's going to be a lot of Oceania people that are going to come through just following in your footsteps, George.
Of coming, I was not fit.
No, following your footsteps of being in the NCAA.
Okay.
I'm saying that you're an inspiration to us all. But but in general, NC State pulling off the dub, pretty exciting. Fuck, they got a dynasty there.
They really do. Lori Hennis is
great coach.
Maybe one of my favorite coaches in the sport.
Great coach.
She's awesome.
Yeah,
Did they beat BYU?
Yeah.
That was your second, right?
BYU second.
Dude, I have to say it, and I hope I don't offend. I just wish, I know Addie's gone to NAU. I know Rich's daughter's gone to NAU, but NC State would have been sick if she was gone there, just saying. I think she would have, that would have been pretty sick. But NAU is amazing. So NAU is amazing.
Kiki Vaughn is there too. Yeah. Like all the Boulder Nepo runner babies are all
the Nepo runner. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a NIWAT to NAU pipeline.
Addy and Judah, Nepo runner babies. Because so, what does that even mean?
And so are the, I don't know. And so's Kiki Vaughn and so's.
What does Nepo mean?
Means nepotism. That their parents were like, giving them the benefits of their gene.
Yeah. It's the dream to make a Nepo runner.
So like if you have a kid, they're probably going to be a Nepo runny baby because they're going to have a lot of privilege.
The number of like teenagers in Boulder right now who have Olympians as parents
would be actually kind of crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Colt Goucher.
Yeah.
That's why crazy. My kids aren't going to do sport.
They're just going to play chess.
They're going to be famous actors and actresses.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that for you.
Yeah. So they'll be Nepo babies in a different way.
Great.
Because I'm going to be feeding off them and taking all the money.
I think based on who I'm married to, I don't think my kids really have a future in any other sport that's besides running.
Will's pretty good looking though. You could probably get a modeling job.
Yeah. Yeah. He's pretty hot.
Will's pretty hot, man. Yeah. The gray hair.
Oh God,
George is trying to get there, but he's been.
I told Will that the other day. Yeah. I was like, I'm also going so gray right now that I'm just gonna rock the gray man bun like Will did.
Yeah,
Will's like, you better hurry up
overnight.
Yeah,
almost.
Will said it happened quick.
Yeah, well, we think it's like the oxidative stress of living at altitude. Like when we moved to Boulder, he had fully brown hair. 2 years later, he had fully gray hair.
Damn, that's crazy.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, it can happen. Yeah, it happens at altitude. Because Dathan also, when Dathan moved here, he was not gray-haired. And then after what?
That's because he started coaching you.
Yeah. Oh, and not coaching you?
No.
I don't know who. I'm not sure which of you would give me more gray hair, but I'm sure both of you would.
Oh, 100%. Actually, you know who would give us the most gray hair? He's not here. Morgan.
Morgs
would definitely give me gray hair if I was coaching him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've all been teammates with him. We all love him, but yeah, he would. He's a privilege to be coached because it would be a challenge.
How was your teammate experience with Morgan?
I love Morgan. It was sometimes frustrating. Like I to say that, like, oh, I'm not super talented is like dumb, but I wasn't ever the most talented person in the room. I just like worked really, really hard, and Morgan could just like rock up and like kind of sandbag some stuff and like not really, you know, give it everything. Here I am giving blood, sweat, and tears, and then Morgan shows up to a race and like absolutely dominates. You're like,
with a heart rate of 100 beats per minute. His heart rate's insane. George and I talk about it all the time. It's like we cannot compare our heart rates to his,
because
he'll be like crushing a workout with us, my heart rate would be like 170 and his heart rate would be like 110. He'd be like, yeah, it was hard. I was like, really?
Didn't seem like it, dude.
Seemed like you weren't
trying at all.
One of my best Morgan moments was we went up to Crested Butte and we lived in like a really tiny house together.
He showed me the house in Crested Butte. Yeah.
It's so tiny. And we were doing 200 meter hill sprints, which at 9,000 feet, like, hurts. And Emma and I were like kind of taking it to Morgan on this day, and like on the cool down, he's like, that's the hardest workout I've ever done in my life. And Emma and I, this was like pretty soon after he joined the team, and Emma and I were like, I don't know that this guy's gonna make it, like, we're not sure he has what it takes. And then he, you know, who's great. But yeah, it was very fun. We're like, oh no, like honey's never trained hard before.
That was the one thing, like, because Morgan and I, when we moved here, he was with Team Boston, I was with OAC, and OAC was in a very, very premature kind of group figuring things out. But like Team Boss has been established, right? So he jumps in and he's like, incredibly, he's like, I'm always done. Like, everything's just so hard. Everything's just so hard. And then he could come back and tell us stories about the little house you guys had and like all the runs that you did up there. And it was interesting to see his experience. And then my experience was like, every workout was really hard. Joe Klecker was just pushing everything. He's like, yeah, Emma Coben was pushing everything. I'm like, oh yeah. So we both experienced it just different ways. You're just with the boss babes and just crushing it.
Yeah.
But
no, he was great. At the time we had so many women on the team. And I think it takes a specific type of guy that can like step into that environment and not like just shrink into a corner, because there's like a lot of us, like very strong personality ladies. Like we
lot of estrogen.
Lot of estrogen and like maybe like not always super nice.
He had Nick Harris though. There was more guys than they ever had.
Somebody else he had as well.
And Trip.
Trip. Yeah. But he really like became everyone's favorite very quickly. Like he had like a way to infiltrate all of our hearts.
Oh, when it becomes to a popularity contest, Morgan knows how to do that. he knows how to make, Morgan is my dad's favorite. Like every time my dad calls me, he's like, oh, how's Morgan doing? Like he loves
He's really Morgan. Great. Yeah.
But the lucky thing is Rob loves me. So, which is Morgan's dad. So we've switched the
Morgan's admiration. Dad diagnosed Will's first skin cancer.
Yeah. Dermatology.
Isn't that crazy? His dad's a I had one.
I had a
surgeon.
Thing behind my ear for a long time, and Rob's like, "You should get that cut out." And then I actually went to the doctors, and they was like, "Yeah, we should cut that out." And I was like, "Shit, thanks, Rob."
Thanks, Rob. Rob, thank you for looking after all
of us.
He's
so casual. Yeah. He's like, "Oh, you probably should cut that out." And I'm like, "I've had this since I was a kid." He's like, "Yeah, but it's you should probably get."
He's just out here saving lives.
Yeah. Saving lives.
Just super nonchalant about it.
What a hero!
What an absolute hero! But we've all lost Morgan. The journey.
Are you guys gonna miss him?
Luckily we get him down here.
The nice thing is, I think
at least once a week,
particularly with George Morgan and I's relationship, I think we've made some sort of pact where now we've just have to tolerate each other forever.
Great.
So that no matter what happens, no matter where we end up in the world, like we're always going to be together in some form, and whether that's like, you know, in a couple of weeks we have a text or a conversation, or we do the podcast, or we hang out, we're always going to have that connection. But definitely at practice it is strange, because he does bring like a very, you know, what type of vibe he brings to practice, and like I really enjoy that vibe, because I think on the team, like George, like myself, like I usually say too much or stir things up, and usually I need to shut up, and Jordy's the opposite, where he's quite stoic and quiet, and then he'll bring up a couple of comments here and there, but we don't have like the middle ground, and I think Morgan's always been that middle ground, and then having that removed has just been a weird adjustment for us. And like I know we all miss him, and not just George and I, but Kai.
We were saying on the leaving episode, was there like we could feel two things at once. Like we're all sad and that he's not at practice and we miss him there, but we're equally happy that
we love him so much that we want what's best for him.
And he's looking, he actually looks great right now. He looks the best.
Yeah,
he's,
I'm really excited. Yeah. I'll be at World Cross actually. So you better be there too.
As we record this, there'll be the day after.
It'll actually be today.
Oh, it'll be on the day.
Because it'll
Thanksgiving.
Be, yeah.
Yeah, because the day before.
In Oz, it'll be Friday.
Yeah, so as we're recording this, as you're listening to this, sorry, not recording this, but he'll be running. Hopefully he'll
between now and then, hopefully Tom will put something in the description how to watch or follow or something.
I don't know how AA is doing it. There'll be something. I mean, the Discord, you guys are amazing with the Discord. So every time
or just
the
check, race
us, you guys figure
just
it out.
Just check Seth O'Donnell's Instagram.
Yeah, he'll probably have a live stream of it. Oh, I can't wait for that duo to duke it out. But
what's up? It's Ollie Hall here from Coffee Club. We've got a special announcement. Core is currently selling Core Wines at 50% off, Core Twos at 20% off, and I tell you what, you don't want to waste the indoor season. That's their motto. Go check it out. Try and be a world champion, heat champion, like our very own George Beamish. You guys should do that, and will do that, and I have faith in it. All the best. See you later. Yeah,
speaking of your career, Aisha, how's it been being an athlete but taking a step back from the professional life?
How's retirement? Is that what you're
asking? Yeah. Like,
some people don't like the word retirement. Some people are like, I'm not retired.
Oh, no, I'm very retired. Yeah. Yeah. Not an athlete.
Yeah. Did
anymore.
You do like a soft retirement, or was it like a.
No, it was like very much like a hard,
hard
retirement. Yeah. It's
what was your last race?
National championships. I won.
Jamaican.
Nice. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's actually a great way to end
that.
That is.
Yeah. And I think it was just like the cherry on top. Like, I'm really lucky that I don't have a single regret, and I like left no stone unturned, and like got more out of myself and ran for longer and was more successful than I like ever imagined I'd be. So I have nothing left. Like I have nothing left to accomplish that I didn't accomplish. So I feel awesome. Like I jog, you know, but I'm more just like a lady that's going to Pilates and getting ready for ski season. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say skiing now, like that must, because that's something that I obviously I'm not thinking about retirement, but for me personally, but I'm thinking more like in the future, like, oh, I'm looking forward to that part of my life where I can do things that I wasn't able to normally do. So for you, I imagine skiing is a factor. That must be exciting.
It's really exciting. And when I was an athlete, I was like very rigid. So I said no to a lot of things in life because I wanted to.
You were dialed in.
I was dialed, baby.
The sacrifices you make to be dialed in.
And like for, it's like, Emma and I would talk about this a lot. It's like, for us, it's not a sacrifice. For everyone else around us, it's a sacrifice. But like, we're doing exactly what the fuck we want to do.
Yeah.
But now.
How's your knee for skiing?
It's a bit dodgy.
Because you've made two Olympic teams in between Olympics and the steeplechase. In between that, tore your
meniscus on my bone.
And then went to the next Olympics in the 1500 because you could no longer steeplechase?
Yeah.
Dude, that's wild.
Yeah, it's really wild. I think that's like part of why I feel like so happily retired is like there is no juice left to squeeze out of these legs. Like this, like we are done. But yeah, I had a really gnarly knee injury, same injury as Alicia Monson, but medial meniscal root tear complete. So my meniscus didn't tear. It just tore off of my tibia or whatever, wherever it's anchored, tore off the bone. And then this happened in a workout in San Moritz, like right 2 weeks before we flew to Tokyo.
Flat or hurdles?
Flat. Yeah. Yeah.
Wild.
I was like bounding. I was like doing some bounds before the workout. And I was like on the other side of the track from Joe and Emma. Like we were all preparing for this workout and, you know, you're like doing your drills, whatever. And I like felt this huge pop and it's like, fuck, like that's not good. But when you're 2 weeks out from the games, like you're so delusional that like you will do anything to get there. Like you worked 4 years for this, like you will do anything to get there. So I do the workout. It was actually a great session. I think we did 800, 400, 400 times two. And great sesh. Drove back up to San Moritz, woke up the next day in the worst pain of my life. And I ran 6 miles with Emma. Like I couldn't, I was like, my like eyes were watering. Like I was in so much pain, but like didn't want to say anything. And then the next day I woke up and there was no topography left in my leg. It was just like a sausage tube, like lost the knee. So, I ended up, seeing the like Olympic doctor there, like the Swiss Olympic doctor, got an MRI and he was like, you should probably go home. Like you can't compete. And then
I've had the same roots. Like, yeah, I had an MRI there. Me and Dayton started crying when they saw my MRI. That was an experience that I had. Like, it was when I was like, oh, you know, I probably just like have to take like a week or two off. And the MRI thing came up and I saw Dayton's face. I was like, that's bad news.
What was it? What was your injury?
I had the
osteitis pubis.
Yeah.
God. Because like that's a tough one.
I was like, I couldn't run. And
the Samaritz MRI is like never a good
donkey,
one.
Like from a donkey in the crotch.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like it was horrible.
So, and like Neil Gulli and a few other athletes have gone through it. Joe and Mario have had similar injuries. Will's had it.
Nick Willis had it.
Nick Willis messaged me. He's had it. I think a lot of athletes have had it, but for me, it was so far extreme because I ignored it for so long, thinking that it was because it feels like a soreness that you've just had a hard workout.
Yeah.
And luckily for like Mario and Joe, they were smart and they thought there's something wrong here, where I was like, I've never been injured before, I don't know, but like, yeah, it was a devastating thing. But like the St. Moritz, like the Switzerland, like, you better go home. It's like, dude, I'm in fucking St. Moritz right now. I'm trying to like
shut up.
I'm about to go to the Olympics.
So Swiss about it. They're like, you must fly home tomorrow and get surgery. You can no longer compete in the Olympics. You're like, brother, no,
I'm not doing that.
So came back from that. I ended up flying there, got my knee drained, which was such a relief. Got a cortisone injection to get on the line and ran the first round. A couple days later, flew straight to Vail, got knee surgery, and then really like gave everything to try to make my third Olympic team. I think the highest world rank I'd gotten to, I was like, all right, I can like, I'm going to have to move up once more. Like I'm going to have to move to the 5K because like the ballistic nature of the 1500, as you know, just like takes a lot.
It was interesting period of time where a lot of those races, like people were just not, they're just getting like seconds and seconds and seconds quicker in that event.
Exponential.
Like, it was like kind of crazy. Whereas like previously it was more of a like tactical kind of like people didn't really care about how fast you're running. So you're like, oh, okay, I can kind of get through the, the loopholes here, but that people were just like sprinting.
Were not making the final running 3:57.
Yeah, it was like, it was nuts. An insane time for 1500 for women and for men. So like moving up, it would seem like a realistic option for sure.
I think I got to like 36 in my world rank in the 5K, and it just like wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough to like be. I could like look in the mirror and be like, I am no longer world class. Like, this sucks. Like, I don't really think this is for me anymore. Like, like it's having really that realization fun to be good.
I mean, it's a very hard thing to do because your whole career, you're like, I'm in that world class arena.
Yeah.
And
it feels fucking good.
It feels good, but it's hard. It's hard to. Some people don't have that realization. Well, they do,
and it's hard, right? Like, I mean, I've had the same therapist for 10 years, so like I have a lot of mental strategies to handle it. So I think like I put in a lot of work to be able to look myself in the mirror and be like, you don't got it, girlfriend, and that's okay. And like, you gave it everything, and you have no regrets, and like, just try to be great at something else. And that's, I think, one of the hardest things for an athlete to do is just move on and decide that, like, let me try.
Sounds like a very
healthy
way to leave the sport.
I mean, one of the
not that you've left.
No. Well, you're still actively involved in the sport. It was just an interest. Like the way my brother was always could have been destined for way more greatness than I could have ever been in sport. But he like looked back. He's like, look back at when you were 15 years old. And you're looking at where you wanted to be, and then look at what you've done now.
Oh my God.
Like, even if you didn't make a national team, you have like ran in college.
Yeah.
You've like done all these things. Like, it's hard when you keep succeeding and then you're like, I'm just going to keep going. It's like, as an athlete, it's very hard to be like, there's no like final date or final thing. Like, you don't have control of that. You have to let that go. My brother's saying that as a carpenter who loves to drink beer and flirt with women. I don't understand.
Like, he's that fun.
He's so like, he's just got that mental mindset of like, you would have been an amazing athlete. And he was an amazing athlete. But it's an interesting thing because it's hard to do, but like the way that you've handled it is so healthy. And that's something that I can hopefully handle at some point. Yeah. But
if anybody, if you need to call me
you might
weekly,
have to be a therapist
like,
the three of us.
I'll walk you through the journey because
when we get there,
it's great. Like when you like, in my experience, like I have no regrets. When I retired, I was like, all right, like what's next? Like the world is so my oyster. I can do whatever the fuck I want. I make the rules. Like I can say yes to anything and everything that I want. And your world just becomes so much bigger, but it tastes sweeter because you've denied yourself like the earthly pleasures that like you didn't have.
What was the first, like when you did that, when the retirement happened, what was the first thing that you're like, I'm doing this? Like, what was there something that you're like, I've always wanted to do this?
A couple things. Like, I really wanted to learn to ski and I wanted to start like road biking outside.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So got into those things. I also like really never drank as an athlete. So I definitely probably overindulged for
what's your drink
months.
Of choice? What was your
I love red wine. Like if I'm just cozy at home, but
do you have the wine and yap? Like
the what?
This is the thing that my girlfriend and I do is where we get a bottle of wine and we put on a really shitty TV show and we just yap about things.
God, that sounds great.
We do that.
Sounds so great.
And that's been something that like, I mean, my girlfriend is not an athlete, so like for her, like this is just like a fun thing to do. For me, I have to be very restrained with how I do things because I get excited, and I get overzealous with things, particularly with drinking. But because I love it. But that's something that's like being like Will. I could imagine one of the funnest things to do is like have a bowl of wine with your husband.
Oh my God, so
and
fun.
Just talk absolute rubbish, and it's like the best thing ever.
Yeah,
that'd
like,
amazing.
Was Will just like waiting for you to retire?
Oh, for sure. He's like, he's like, I know you're fun in there somewhere. Like I'm just holding on. For the fun.
I love
it. Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's like there still is a bit of deprogramming for me of like for instance, like I have to tell myself like, you can have a second cup of coffee. Like it's okay if you're like you can go to dinner at 8 p.m. Like I was just very rigid of like I ran at 9 and 4:30 and I ate dinner at 6:30 and I went to bed at 9 and like all of these things like over and over and over for 12 years. But now like just the idea of like going, like we went on a date last night in Denver. And like the thought of going to Denver as an athlete, I was like, oh my God, no way. Like that's so exhausting. I couldn't possibly drive 35 minutes to go to a city. Oh my gosh. And now it's like, oh yeah, we go have dinner, like a late dinner, go walk around and look at Christmas lights and all these things that like I couldn't conceptualize. I know that this makes me sound really lame, but like I was really lame as an athlete. but it is just like the ability to have fun and be like unencumbered by the reality of the ramifications of your decisions when you're an athlete.
Well, I mean, like in general, like I can imagine when you like go into that point, you're like, oh, like the anxiety kicks in. Oh, I should have doubled. I should have. Yeah. Like the exercising thing is like, wait a minute, I can just go and have a drink.
Yeah.
I could run in the morning.
Yeah.
And I can go to Denver at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And have a lovely dinner.
Yeah. It's really great. It's really great.
So who runs more, you or Will?
Will. Yeah. Yeah. Will's like sneaky fit all the time. It's kind of annoying. He is my like goal. I think I've really like just taken a year of having a very soft life. And I think I'll get fitter. Like I'll get back on the wagon at some point. But like he has a rule that he wants to be fit enough that he can say yes to everything. And
it's a good rule.
I'm not there yet. Like I unfortunately, like a lot of my friends are still pro runners. I'm like, God, you fire so fast. Too fucking fast.
How long has Will been retired from running?
Since 2021.
So not that long. 4 or 5 years. That's not that long.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he could probably get into a workout and just.
Oh, he does. And like, like he'll.
That's kind of where I want to be. I kind of want to be in that spot. But I also want to be able to like I have love for surfing and other sports where I want to be very fit to be able to do those very easily.
Yeah.
With my mates. But
we live right by Centennial Middle School, which is like a little dangerous for him because we'll like go walk or we'll go like see the Team Boss Girls. Like if for whatever reason Niwot's closed down, they'll work out there and Will just gets pulled into so many workouts. Mm. like, oh, I'll just go warm up with the girls. And then it's like, oh, Dom's doing whatever by a K. Yeah. Like I guess I'll
hop in. He was helping Dom out. Yeah. Dom did mention that.
Yeah.
I mean like that's the way you kind of want, like the balance there seems pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You're a professional podcaster as well. So
I guess. Yeah. I don't know how...
former professional athlete that I know George and I love.
Yeah, Eric Jenkins is
loves a strong
I love Eric Jenkins.
I think he's very funny. He's very funny.
My personality on the podcast is trying to be him. Like he's nuts. Naturally fucking hilarious.
He's also so brilliant and so unhinged. Like if I could spend one day in his brain, it would be the best day of my life. Like
I'd probably lose my mind probably. But
so like a Mad Hatter situation.
Aside from Coffee Club, like obviously, what was the inspiration for starting this?
So funny. White guys love to think they invented podcasts.
We were waiting for that comment. You've now done it. We got the clip.
I asked for that one.
But we needed that because when we did start the podcast, Aisha, we were like sitting there and Morgan's like, everyone does fucking podcasts. Because like, at that point, Sit and Kick was actually pretty big with Rabbi Ribich and Josh Kerr. But we were like, oh, everyone doing it. And then we've kept doing it. Now we think we've invented it.
I think Merba's first review was what running really needs is another podcast run by three white dudes.
And then Morgan looked at it and goes, am I white? And I'm like, yeah.
No, it is. It's really fun. I did not foresee this as my destiny at all. So we are 6 months into having a podcast. We record weekly and I got pulled in. Like my first gig with Sidious was the Paris Olympics. So like not no pressure at all. And that went well. And Eric and I just like had such a rapport, which we were in Eugene at the same time, but like weren't friends then. And we just had enough people tell us that we should have a podcast that we're like, I guess we'll try. And it's been really fun. We just like shoot the shit and we talk about running, but like it's like a gentle touch into running. I think like we kind of get more of like the fringe folks that like are maybe newer to the sport or like aren't going to hardcore necessarily listen to the other Sidious content, which is like pretty hardcore running stuff. But yeah, it's really fun.
So you like the you're bringing people in.
We're bringing people in.
You're kind of like the more world view of running, and then you've got the nitty gritty
Yeah.
Deep, deep, deep fans.
We just really don't take ourselves too seriously. We just have fun.
We enjoy yeah. that for sure.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple. It's good.
Thanks. Yeah.
I've seen some clips and I do agree. It's pretty good. I was like, oh, wow, like Sidious have done a really good job pairing these two together. But now I know it was mostly just people saying to you guys, you guys should probably do this.
Yeah.
Which is what, like, sometimes you'll listen to the fans. You'll listen to
the fans.
Listen to what people say. Well, that's exciting.
So how much is Sidious your boss?
That's a good question.
That's a great question. We like
just
call
like
them
waiting for when they buy us out for like $1 billion.
Yeah, we call them our overlords. they pay us and we do things for them. so there is an exchange of goods for money. I have like a pretty serious corporate job, so this is all like fun on the side stuff. Like it's like feels like very like giggy and like a fun, just like a fun side project. So I don't feel like they are my boss. I feel like they are like my like number one hype men and supporters, but like it's a very convivial relationship.
Mm. Wait, Ollie, she's, are we, you can get paid podcast? Were we doing this for free?
I didn't realize you could get paid.
What are we doing?
We've been doing this for free, but
we
probably should cash in at Idiots. Some point. But I mean, we just thought that eventually, like, it'd be like a startup where it's like, oh, we're going to buy you out.
Bought out. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, that would be pretty sick. Like, I could yap into a microphone for the rest of time if they are going to, like, pay me a lot of money. But that's not where we are currently.
No. But I
guess start somewhere.
But we always thought that at one point, like, I don't know, like, you listen to the Kelsey's podcast. I thought that would happen to us at some point where we just,
oh, the $100 million Amazon deal?
Yeah.
I also thought that would have happened by now.
Yeah.
It's weird that it hasn't.
Keep dreaming, guys. Yeah, like, exactly. I think you're doing great.
Well, I think that the great thing is, I think Jordy's girlfriend starting this new food craze, you guys should check it out, because she could become massive from that. I could see that 100%. A lot of those food Instagrams and TikToks that people love that shit, and it gets really, really, really lucrative. So, fingers crossed for you, George, because that could actually lead us into our podcast getting bigger. If Jenna is successful, we become 100%. Successful. And then I'm trying to push Meg back into a theater, and maybe she can become an actor or something. and then we've got Cinta, who's just going to become an absolute boss on the track. So hopefully we have our partners, Sugar Mummies, are going to lead into.
And then we can keep just doing it for free.
Like the Kelsey podcast. And then we keep it, we just do it for free.
Yeah.
So does it feel like you and Will, who obviously works in running, will be involved in the sport? I don't know about indefinitely, but for the next little while, like,
yeah. I mean,
does it feel like the right amount of still in the running world?
Sometimes maybe too much. We talk about running now more than we ever did when we were athletes. Like,
really?
It is a conversation every day. Like, especially with his role in sports marketing and both of our like deep entrenchment into sports governance is like quite consuming sometimes. Mm. We're both like potentially a bit too heavily involved in our volunteer roles, but for now it's really good. And I just don't know, like, back to the Dave Smith, I was gonna say my
you did it well, yeah.
Yes. Like the Dave Smith thing of like, I actually really liked his comment of like, if you like, don't just bitch about it. Like, if you've got something to say, like, fucking change it. Like,
because that's our job as podcasters. We bitch about it, and then there's like people. But
people
you have
like
the,
Aisha,
you have the other like side where you can actually enact into it as being a WA commissioner.
Let's get into that, because that's actually going to be unique to all 208 episodes. First time we've had someone in your role.
World Athletics
Athlete Commission. Okay, first of all, what the fuck is it?
Yeah,
because we barely know what it is.
Well, I didn't know what it was either.
Let alone the listeners probably don't know what that is.
This is really crazy. Yeah, we need to have like a media campaign behind this. So World Athletics Athletes Commission is a group of like 18 athletes that are elected at a world championship. And you have to have competed at a world championship or an Olympic Games in the last 4 years. And all of the athletes at that championship vote for you to like become the athlete's voice. So World Athletics governance is split into the council and the Congress. It's kind of like the House and the Senate in the US. And then there are all of these commissions that feed into the whole situation and give their opinion. So the Athletes Commission, we have two members that vote in council, which is a really, really big deal. So any like major rule change or happening in the sport, we have a vote in and we have a say in. And then
two out of how many
people are on council? I should know this off the top of my head, maybe like 30 something.
Okay.
Well, we can fact check myself. But then we also like consult on all of the things. So like if they're, especially if anything like touches the athletes, like it comes through the Athletes Commission first and we give our like formal opinion to the org. And sometimes they listen to us and sometimes they don't. But in moments where it's like actual critical feedback, they take what we have to say like very seriously. And then from that, Athletes Commission group, a lot of us then sit in other places within World Athletics. Like, for example, I sit on the Governance Commission. So I deal with all of the rules within member federations and aligning like the New Zealand Federation with the Australian Federation, with the Jamaican Federation, and like making sure that everyone's following the same set of rules. It's some people would say like quite boring, but I think it's very fun. But yeah, it's a really diverse group of athletes from all over the world and all disciplines. Our chair is Valerie Adams.
Shout out, Dame Val.
Kiwi legend. Absolute legend. And then
she came to say what's up after the medal ceremony in Tokyo. She tried to be the one presenting it, but fucking Albuquerque's lady got it instead, which Belle was pissed about. But Belle came down afterwards, just biggest chiller. She's such a legend.
She's so cool.
She's also,
yeah,
sister of Stephen Adams, NBA player. Ridiculous family.
Honestly, that the gene in that family,
nuts. Insane,
insanely athletic.
Insane.
She's just so cool too.
She's very cool, and she's very smart and very like commanding of respect. Like she is one of the true, true greats in our sport. And
hopefully, there's a future there that she can kind of go.
I like the letter. I really think that Val at some point should be president of World Athletics. Like she's so smart and she has like such a good vision for the sport and such good perspective. And she's got, she has a lot of respect of a lot of people that she's earned.
And we need that young blood going through as well, because
there's a lot of old farts in there.
Yeah. But I mean, let's just say a lot of the things that are run in the world are run by people that are, I'm going to say it, out of touch with a lot of the things that are coming through that can be changing the sport in such a positive way, not just for the young, but also for the old.
So how often are you getting involved? Monthly meetings, right?
Yeah. Plus quarterly long meetings within our, within the Athletes Commission, and then probably monthly-ish with governance. I've been on some like special projects here and there. One was the Human Rights Working Group. One was the Gender Diversity Working Group. And those were each like probably 100 hours of time.
Oh, wow.
Spread throughout the year. And it's often like really challenging hours of like 5 a.m. or midnight, just like very odd hours of the day, because we have to accommodate for like our colleagues in Hong Kong and our colleagues in on the West Coast of the U.S. Like it is just like every time zone in between. You just have to sort of try to balance all the voices that are important.
Yeah. So what do you guys like? What should we be getting excited about in the sport?
Yeah.
Or like what's happening?
Yeah, what's happening? That's a good
question. What are you guys doing right now?
What are we working on right now? We really just worked on the timetable for LA 28.
A lot of people not happy with that.
Yeah. Now, which is surprising to me, because I know a lot of people were consulted and people did like it. Consulted.
Yeah, the women's 100 meters, that one got a lot of attention.
It did.
Three rounds. Does it include the rounds that is before? Because like, there's a round before.
It has to. It's day one. Yeah. So it has to include everything.
Yeah. I know it is conflicting, but as you're saying, like when we have to like reorient for different audiences, I think that sport is at a really interesting place right now where like obviously performance matters, but there's also now a demand for entertainment. Like it's not like in the TikTok world where we just want new content all the time. Like we never want to say the same thing twice. Like there needs to be more of a thought behind like a true entertainment package.
Yeah. Cause my question next to that from George's question, which was in my head, was do you think athletics, track and field, is it trending in a direction that you're happy with? Well, a lot of the athletes are happy with, because since my time, it's gotten way bigger. I just think personally, it's gotten way bigger because athletes like Sha'Carri, and they're superseding the sport a lot easier now than, like Usain Bolt had to do some crazy shit to become Usain Bolt. But now I feel like a lot of the athletes that deserve to supersede the sport are getting that avenue, getting that opportunity. So I'm curious, particularly I think as well, I mean, maybe it's always been like this, but I personally believe like women's track and field has gotten a lot bigger and it's evened out a lot more in a way in which I feel like compared to other sports, WNBA, it feels like it should be. It feels like the women's and the men's are getting the attention equally that they deserve. And I'm wondering from your perspective, seeing that with working with, as in governance, that's trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
But that's me seen as an athlete, not as somebody that.
Yeah, but I agree. So, track and field is one of the most, equitable sports, if not the most equitable sport in the world. Like we have, equal TV time and equal prize money for men's and women's events, which is like kind of unheard of.
Swimming is also having issues with that in itself.
Tennis.
Tennis is really good.
Tennis is very good.
Really good.
But those sports, I feel like they do such a great job with not leaving. It's not gender bias. It's well done in that sense. Cause like a lot of people get excited for that 100 meters, men and women, like they don't want to miss either of them, where I think that's an amazing thing. Cause the storylines are so impactful.
The product is good too.
Yeah. The product is great.
There is like this upward trajectory of our sport that's really fun to watch. Like the, like Dentsu and Deloitte and like all of these companies like collate a lot of data to see like how popular are all of the sports. And we all know that track and field is the number one Olympic sport, but it is gradually like superseding or tying things like F1 or like there we are. The latest data that I had heard were like we're in the top five most popular sports in the world.
So my question to that now is, with the Olympic Games, is there a way that these athletes can get compensated a bit better?
I totally think so.
Because I know what athletics did pay this past Olympics, which was great.
First sport to pay.
Which was great. And I know that was controversy with that, with other sports. But I believe like every week, like, well, not every week, but like a lot of sports, they have a world championship every year. There's a lot of money in a lot of like even test matches or things where it's a team sport or individual when it comes to cycling or F1. A lot of those athletes, Yara Nagus, a lot of those picked up, they should be getting good money and they're not, which is a shock to some people.
It is shocking. It is shocking that this is like an age old question of like, should the Olympics have prize money attached to it?
And
like
because the Olympics makes billions
makes
of dollars.
So much money.
They make a lot of money.
They make
and,
so much money.
And it's not just for me saying like, yes, Cole Hocker should be getting absolute fuck ton of money, and he should. However, is there a way in which now the Olympics has all this money, they can fund air conditioning for a lot of the low income, like a lot of the federations that don't have the money, because these athletes are going and they're staying in hot box rooms, they're staying on cardboard beds. People complain about that. The money's there, but how does it become a sport where it's like the Olympics still gets all the money, they get super profitable, but how do you also put the athletes in a position like you are a world-class athlete, you get world-class accommodation, you get world-class treatment, which I think it is getting there, but it's very hard because yes, the Olympics has every single country in the world. There's multiple events. It's not just one sport, but
it would be nice to see some sort of profit-sharing model.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes, because like track and field is, yeah, like you said, the biggest. And I think particularly like I'm sure you've experienced it with a lot of people you know that are Olympic medalists. When Yared walks around at Central Park, he's very noticeable. He's a very noticeable individual, but he is big. Like I, at some points I'm thinking like this guy probably needs some security.
Yeah.
But
we know he's not going to fight for himself.
No, well, he'll stand down and is like, no, like I'll do this later because I'm doing this right now. But I mean, you know, when Beamish goes back to New Zealand, he's probably going to need some security as well. But it's just in general, I'm feeling like the trajectory of that is like, I want to see like some of those athletes that have medaled or some of those athletes that are just so big. I want to see them not having worries financially, like just getting the financial incentive, because they probably made a lot of money, not just for the Olympics, but for their brands as well. So
I think seeing the rise of like competitor leagues to world athletics is just going to rise the tide for all the boats. Like
Grand Slam.
R.I.P. but I mean, like conceptually, and Athlos, and I know they've got a ton of money behind them. But
USATF setting up a league now as well.
USATF setting up a league.
Yeah.
I do think that there is competition, and I think I know World Athletics is up for, you know, a major sponsorship shakeup 2027-2028. So bringing new eyes, new attention into the sport is huge. I think one thing that we can do at, well, we, I'm not, it's not we anymore, I'm not an athlete, but one thing that people can do in the sport is like, right, like talk nicely about the sport. Like if there's something, like of course, like we're always going to whinge and moan about things that suck, like that's our, you know, the natural course of things. But if there's stuff that is cool in the sport, like hype it up. Like when we're trying to attract new sponsorships and voices into the sport, like we want it to have like a positive connotation. Like people aren't going to sponsor a turd, and if like our league seems like a turd, then it's not going to go well.
Honestly, I 100% agree with you. I think that's like an amazing point. And like a lot of the things are like the rivalry. I'm sure you watched George and Hamish's little doc that what I think. Stuff like that is good content.
So good.
But it's also content that people.
That's really cool.
People need a story, like they need a storyline when they go into something. They see George, they see a good looking Kiwi that got stepped on, and they're like, easy to root for. Like that's very quick. That's a very quick storyline to root for. However, like, some people's stories that you don't see behind, like the lead up to getting there, like a lot of that stuff is super cool. And I think it needs to be addressed more. I think like that stuff is where people need to voice their opinions of like, this story's happened or this like...
Media. We need more media.
We need more media. And
more
media,
podcasts.
More podcasts.
and then podcasts should be paid millions of dollars. Not just... Yeah. Athletes that are currently in the sport, but athletes that have also just retired, they need to get paid millions of dollars. But I agree. Like there's got to be a positive spin on it.
Yeah,
100%.
What, remind me, Matt Hughes's
he
position?
Just finished his term as vice president.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
does that mean he's out?
He's out. He his term ended and didn't like with the time limit of when you competed at your last world championship was unable, and he I think is now the high performance director for Athletics Canada.
Yes, I saw him out there in Tokyo.
Between
the two of you,
sport.
How did Ultimate not end up with a steeple?
Oh god, I know. So what we're promised is that it is the events will change based on the country where they're hosting. So I guess Budapest, Hungary is like not a big steeple nation. So they're having hammer throw, which is huge in their country. It's like there are events.
I was wondering
that were, like,
how they ended up with
wing.
Hammer and not shot put.
Yeah. Well, you were in Budapest. Like, yeah. I can't remember what days you were competing, but the days that the hammer was on was nuts. It was like the thunderous crap.
It's interesting.
It is.
Michelle,
seems like the
when
kind
I was
of
in
thing
Oslo,
they would
Michelle
be into.
Came up and she's a fan of the podcast, surprisingly, but she also works with Seb quite a lot and with Lord Co. And she was asking me questions like, just like, you guys have ideas, you guys throw them out all the time on the podcast. Sometimes they're stupid and sometimes they actually make some sort of sense. But she was asking me stuff like that. And I said, look, like an athlete's package, what can we get an athlete's? I'm like, honestly, like, I'm sure you are similar to this. An Uber, like $50, $100 of Uber. Because like for me, like if I'm in a really cool place like Budapest, I want to Uber a coffee shop. I want to Uber to
a
cool restaurant.
To a bath.
And if you want to
a Hungarian bath.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you're in Tokyo, you want to like Uber to a spa or sushi place, some cool stuff. Like, and if you want to get the most out of that money that you're giving to those athletes, get them to take a photo or a video and then tag.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got this Uber thing and I did this. Like, that is a really good way that you can help the athlete be able to get around, but also like.
Love that idea.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, that's great. We'll write it down. And she already had amazing ideas in this athlete package because it's not. it's not like a usual world championship. It's only ranked top 12.
Yeah, yeah. It's like going like to be the very, best, very best.
And it can be multiple people from multiple, like it can be like four people from the US or eight people from the US. But like stuff like that, it's like, that's a really good way. And that is media content. People see that story. They want to sponsor it. Like this, like a spa house might be like, oh, we'll give you some money. You can send the athletes here and they get some benefit. They can get some money. And that sort of stuff is a really good idea. And like you said, it's a positive storyline because when we're a very fortunate sport where we get to travel internationally and we get to really appreciate other people's cultures, but also get to do things that are really fun. And that's just another cool way of adding in like a little slice of like an athlete's story or journey with it. Because, you know, if New Zealand ever pulls their fucking finger out and hosts a championship, imagine going to Beamish Farms.
Oh, man.
And just being
so
able
great.
To like wrestle down a sheep. Yeah. And you know, like stuff like that. Like, you know, you could go and watch the haka being performed or something like that. Even though, like, I think it's overrated.
Did you do the haka?
I did a lot in high school.
It's overrated, and Aisha. It's
not overrated. It's the sickest thing ever.
Nah, it's not. I mean, as a Wallabies fan, it's not.
You're not even a Wallabies fan.
I am a Wallabies fan. Well, I am a Wallabies fan going through these trying times of just not, we're not doing great. But stuff like that would be cool.
It would be really cool.
And,
it would be really cool. I think who did this really well was Atlas. Like the because you're getting the creme de la creme athletes with a lot of like social media following in the first place, and the athletes are treated so well, I think, to the level that they deserve to be treated. But you know, unfortunately, our sport just like hasn't had the financial backing to meet these expectations. But like the women at Atlas are staying in a beautiful hotel. They, you know, car service is picking them up and taking them places. There are all of these other sponsors that are coming in, like cosmetic sponsors and loungewear and other like other avenues that are coming in and like showering these women with like affection. And they are so willing to post about how great this is and so willing to like share their own personal journey and their own personal story.
And their branding is big too. Like they've got a lot of followers and people see that very positively. If like they're supporting my athlete that I really admire, it's like, oh, I'm going to go in and maybe buy some product.
Yeah.
What a crazy thing to think that would actually work.
So crazy. Nuts.
Absolutely crazy. Well,
so I know this is one thing, maybe I don't know if this is Athletes Commission related, but I know that you feel very strongly about and are quite vocal, which I think is very good, about against drug use.
Anti-doping.
Anti-doping.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy that you are so... what can or is... Can the commission do to do more?
Yeah, we meet with the AIU a lot. And we ask a lot of tough questions of like, what's going on in Kenya? What's like, why does it seem like shadow bans exist? Like, what is going on? And sort of getting,
why are agents still getting away with lot of a kind of a dotted line towards them and they get all the money? And then,
And I like, we have the opportunity and like, I just have the benefit of being in rooms that I can come up with an idea and say like, hey, I think that if an athlete goes to a major marathon and wins and the major marathon pays their agent, the agent then pays the athlete.
Yep.
So the agent gets 15 to 25% of that. Why is the agent not liable to pay back?
Particularly if the agents had multiple occurrences where an athlete has
one is enough,
but one is enough. I agree, one is enough. But if an agent is still profiting off the short-termness of these athletes and now taken, they have to get the money back. That agent
and
then
the agent's still cashing in, and there's no recourse. There are the beginnings of a little bit of reform here. So a few years back, there now is like a standardized form of like agent athlete representative agreements. So World Athletics now has like a directory of like who are all of the licensed athlete representatives, and they all have to like sign an ethics code, whatever. So like,
what does that do though?
Yeah, but it's important because if you can't punish someone if there isn't a standard of rules. So that's step one, is like, we need to standardize athlete agent agreements and athlete representative agreements. And then we need to like have teeth on these punishments, right? Like, we need to lay the groundwork, and then we need to establish like what is acceptable behavior and what is not acceptable behavior. How can you prove, like in what way can we prove that someone is doing something nefarious, and how can we prosecute or like what's the recourse for their wrong action? So I think maybe in 5 years we'll be in a different position, but like the groundwork is being laid for there to be more accountability in these relationships.
How is it just groundwork? Like, how is that not just like being pushed through rapidly?
I mean, that's the thing that I agree with George. It's an interesting thing that this is only coming up now. Like, this is something that should have existed.
And let alone giving the prize money back, how is there not a considerable fine? Like, why aren't you giving it back and some?
I mean,
every time their athlete tests positive, they should be fined like fucking
people getting fined in like fucking football games for swearing or like putting something off or saying like a derogatory term. They're getting banned. They're getting fined. That should exist in the sense of like doping. Like, I agree. And also, like, with the, like, I feel like particularly there's certain situations where a lot of athletes are going to places where they know that they're not going to get tested. AIU needs to, I know it's a hard thing to do because it's financially, like, you have to pay these people to go and test. But if you know a certain country where they're going a lot of the time because that country doesn't have that establishment, maybe we should start putting an establishment there. And it's been existing.
It's happening. Why do you think that there are so many Kenyans banned right now?
Well, exactly. And you've seen that coming through. I mean, Kenya is, yeah. But like all those bans, they're still, like, Russia had that whole, I don't know what it's called.
Sochi.
Yeah, the Sochi situation. Like,
they're still banned.
They are still banned. But like Kenya's trying to do Nairobi. They're trying, like, they should be thinking like, we have some of the best athletes in the world. We want to promote them. We want to make them better. But we also want to make sure it's a fair and clean situation. And I know there are Kenyans that are really pushing for that. But hopefully AIU can work with them to prevent that from happening, because, it's just happening. It's coming up every time you see it. It's sad because there are amazing Kenyan athletes that I love
that are clean.
That are clean and they're doing the right thing. But it's an existing thing, and
does it feel like there are plans in place between now and LA that will improve?
Because LA is 3 years away.
It's three years away.
It's quite fucking close.
It's quite close.
It's pretty close. I mean, the testing programs are getting better and better every year. The AIU is enforcing the national anti-doping agencies to test their athletes. Like, actually, New Zealand was one of the countries that was in trouble for not testing enough athletes. Like, not having, they're trying to make the piece of the pie of the people who are not, that end up top eight at world championships. They want everyone to have an out-of-competition test. Right now, that's not even happening. There's like a very small percentage of people that aren't getting enough tests. So their job is to like go into the federations and be like, this needs to happen. Like, these athletes need out of competition tests.
Yeah, I mean, I got tested last week and it was out of my window, and I was like almost shook because usually I get tested in my window because I was in the AIU pool, the world testing pool, and then my results haven't been as good, so I got pulled out. But I'm still obviously in the Australian testing pool. But like, when I get tested, it's usually at a race or like when it's easier for them to test me, which I'm always there's like, you get tested, you get tested like at the meets. But then for this one, I was out of window. I was like, oh damn,
honestly, the more random the better, though.
Yeah,
but that's what I like.
You almost want it to be like,
I've had a test. I want them to track my phone.
That's what I want.
We've talked about this a lot. It's like, can we opt in?
Yeah, I would opt in. I was like, you find me and test me. I don't care about my privacy.
I always said, like, put a chip in my arm. Like, I do not give a shit.
Because like the one,
I'm not going anywhere. That
the windows and the timing and stuff. Like, I'm trying to like, it's like, oh, I got like, you know, like I'm trying to do all these things, and the app is frustrating. It's gotten better, but it has been frustrating sorting that out.
Oh my god, the app used to be so bad. Because
I'm trying to put in my things
like,
oh, I've got this going on. I'm trying to change it. It won't let me cringe it. I'm actively trying to change it.
Let me tell you, when you retire, it is like that was one of the first things I did. It's like send in my medical retirement of like, do you not like the freedom from whereabouts?
6 months afterwards, I think you still get tested after retirement, which is also fair.
Yeah.
But not having to worry about a window can
so nice.
Be nice. Because like I had a thing where I went to the movies with my brother and Jackson, and I changed my window the night before to 8 o'clock, and the movie went over that because we had made a spontaneous. We're like, oh, let's go see a movie. So I'm like, shit. So I changed my window, and the app kept, I was changing it to 10 to 11 on the day. And it says, like, look, they could test you here, but you're changing your window, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, thinking, like, okay, I'm trying to put the app in, and it kept logging out. And I'm like, dude, I need to change this window. And this is like 2 hours before two or 3 hours before the window was coming in. So I'm trying to do it at 10, and it's the same address. It's the app thing. I'm like, fucking do it. And then eventually went through, and my brother's like, why? I thought this would be like super like
robust,
really good app. And I'm like, no, the app is like haddish. Like people are trying to log on the app, but it has gotten better. To their credit.
Yeah,
it's gotten a lot better since
huge.
I've been on it.
Yeah.
And I know the USADA app is also like not as good.
Yeah.
I know there've been a lot of issues with that app with logging in too.
That is one of my, like, Will and I get in this fight all the time. I do not understand why American athletes like get their own app. Like, just get...
do the Adams app.
Just do the Adams app.
And if
app,
they were on the Adams app, I reckon it'd be even better because they'd put more people into it. And the Adams app is... I always get a good laugh because my picture is me with a wig and, like, makeup on and stuff. So every time the testers come in, they love my photo. It's just me with, like, a photo thing. But...
you become good friends with the testers
over
time.
Yeah, I mean,
time.
Like, the lady that came for my outer window test last week...
Do you have Rainey?
She's from Denver. I think... She's tested me a few times. I've had another person that was different too, but she's from Denver. She's super nice. She does my blood work, and then another guy watches me pee. But she came and she's like, oh, you moved. You got a new house. I was like, yeah, I moved. And then she'll see Gus, and I'm like, oh, because sometimes I forget. It's like, oh, when they're knocking your door, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry about the dog. And they're like, oh, no, I know Gus. And then Gus would come up.
So cute.
So like,
they become part of your life.
I mean, and that's been a nice factor of it too. I just wish they could track me because I always, I have a whereabouts reminder at 8 p.m. every time. And I try and be forward with it, but like life happens sometimes, and you're like, I need to change my wind. And it's like the app is not succinct. But being in the US is also a lot easier because like they will check the app immediately.
I've missed one test in my career, and it was just so stupid. But I was flying to Belgium, and my hour was I like put it to 8 a.m., thinking that like I'd get to Leuven in time, but like I landed and they were calling me and I was like, I am going to do my absolute everything to get there within an hour. Like I'm on the tarmac. Like the train is 17 minutes from the Brussels airport to the Leuven airport. It's like, it just depends on like how long it takes to get my bag.
And that's the sucky thing too. Like you've set it all up and then like if they test you any other day, you're there.
I'm there.
But it's just the one time you're traveling. It's
Yeah, so bad. Yeah, I felt so bad.
Which, honestly, if they, like you said, if you had chipping on me, like your phone, and like it's like an Amber Alert. They're just like, we're here to test you.
Yeah.
And then, like, we're coming to your location
now.
The chip
buzzes in your arm.
Yeah.
your phone buzzes, like, you are out of Denny's. We are coming to test you at this Denny's. And I'm like, okay, I'll get another pancake.
Yeah.
And I'll just wait for you there.
I'll get a pancake and another cup of water.
Yeah, there you
get ready.
But, no, well, I mean, that's an interesting aspect of it, too, because I think that was one thing that, people always say, it's like, oh, well, how does the drug testing go? And it's like, well, there's like a window and it's like an hour. And they're like, but they can test you outside the window. Yes, they can test you outside the window, but you have to be there at all times. It's like, no, if it's out the window, they just wait for you to be home or you're there.
Yeah.
And they knock on the door. It's like, when they go in contact with you, like, we're here for your pee. And it's like, give me a second.
You get like really comfortable with peeing wherever you need to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the funniest one I saw recently was, I think Gabby Thomas got tested at like an event. She was doing an event and having a beer, and they were like, the testers were having a beer with her just sitting there. And I'm like,
this
is the vibe that I would be like, so chill with that. Yeah. It's just a way of being a professional athlete. So
one thing I love is when athletes have the attitude that like, test me whenever. Like I always think it's a privilege. Like sport is a privilege. Mm. Like it's not guaranteed. So like I want to play by the rules. So like test me whenever. Like this is just the cost of doing business. I get really frustrated when athletes are like, me, I'm tested too much. It's like, okay, well, do you want to be in the league or not? Like just play by the rules.
Yeah.
Gotta do it.
I also feel good when I've been tested because then it's like they still
they think
care.
I'm good.
Yeah, they still care about me. Because when I got the out of competition when like tested last week, I was like, oh, I'm still good.
They're still thinking
I'm still good.
I know. Yeah.
They're asking me, I'm on my races. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm just like, yeah, how was last year? She's like, oh, it wasn't too good, but I'm still good because you're coming here to test me.
Because you're coming here to test me.
Yeah. But, and you get so robotic with it though. You got to be careful with the number. You know, when you get the number thing, you're like, oh, I check the numbers and I like check it. And then I check the bottle and I check the numbers and I'm like, what if I like, and then they leave and I'm like, what if I was like dyslexic and I forgot to check like a certain number? Do you ever have that?
No.
You're just super certain like all the time. I always have doubts when I get like, that's like,
I've never had
that
the thought.
Is that an 87 or 78 or
what? Yeah.
When I'm looking at the numbers, fuck, am I dyslexic? Yeah. And I don't know. That's never happened.
New you're, fear unlocked.
I'd love to have that certainty of like, oh yeah, this is correct. Because sometimes when I leave, I get
a little paranoid.
Wait,
yeah.
Yeah, was that an 87 or 78?
How close are you putting them together? You just like,
I reread them and then they read them too. So I feel,
to each other.
I feel confident with like when she's reading it. She's
got
like,
a second set of eyes on it.
Yeah.
I loved when so I haven't been in this house in about, I don't know, 7 years when everyone used to live in it. And I couldn't remember what the house looked like. I got up to the door and I knew exactly where I was because there's a doorbell that's labeled AIU or WADA for George Beamish. Like, you do. So this is your own separate doorbell. Does it just go to your room?
As in, my bedroom.
Brilliant. I just have a dog and he would
that's good.
That's with Gus. Like, too. The doorbell rings with a knock and my dog goes ballistic.
Just otherwise, like, just in case the downstairs one's not loud enough, I just have it go off in my room.
It's so smart.
Because I'm upstairs.
That's so smart. This is a man taking anti-doping seriously, and we love to see it.
It's annoying when...
My doorbell works, though.
Some
works
people
well.
Ring it, and there's like fucking delivery drivers.
Yeah, like damn, dude, I'm taking a nap.
Read the damn sign. Yeah. It'll be like some random man be like, no way. No way. And I walk downstairs like, dude, who the fuck are you? You're not AIU.
Read the sign.
Read the sign.
But, I mean, it's not a big deal. Yeah.
Have you ever been tested idea, like though. In the same week twice?
Yes.
I'm still waiting for that. That has happened to me.
Yeah. I think I had like an auto comp, like in between two races. I think I got tested at the race.
And then you got tested.
Got tested out of competition. One of my strangest tests was like, I had to get out of bed for it at like 10 p.m. in San Moritz.
They just came in and called you and said, hey, we're here for...
Yeah, like the doorbell rang and I was like, the fuck was that?
That's actually...
And I'm asleep.
That would be the craziest one though, is like when you're like asleep and then the doorbell rings, like that would be a paranoid thing of like, is that drug testing? Because it's out a window, but I got to answer the door. And I'm like,
I had a San Moritz one while I was in the pool, like out a window. I was in the pool aqua jogging, so like obviously I don't have my phone on me.
Yeah.
And someone like had to come to the pool, like walking alongside, like, dude, your testers are here. I'm literally in the pool working out.
Though, if you're not there, they're not going to be like, oh.
Yeah, they just had to wait because it wasn't my window.
Yeah.
But it was funny because I was in the pool and they were like, I think they were ringing me, but like, I don't have my phone on
when
me.
When I went to Seaburger with Robert and everyone, like that was when they were probably waiting in the thing, because when I closed the door and I went to pour chocolate milk, they went bang, bang, bang. And I'm like,
yeah, they
I
were just like
got home,
staking
and then
out.
I opened the door like, hey, and I'm like, oh shit, all right.
One year, Will got tested three times in 1 week, and it was like when we'd first, it was maybe the second year that we started dating, and he didn't live in Eugene yet. It was just me, and he was there for Prefontaine, and he was like on fire. And yeah, he was tested two times before the race, and then after the race.
I've always wondered if anybody's ever got tested like on the day of the race in their window.
Forgive me if I'm misquoting, but like he was tested day of.
Yeah, so that's crazy because like the day of the race, it'd be crazy to get tested because they know that you're racing. So it's like
they might not if you don't put it in though. If they really don't know, but
I always put it in the label. I always if I'm like Prefontaine, like for the accommodation, I was like Diamond League Prefontaine, and then I have like the
that would be kind of annoying. Yeah, warning off.
Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't complain.
I wouldn't complain.
I shouldn't say it's annoying.
Yeah,
great idea.
But
I would be thrown off,
especially like if you're giving blood. Like I need all these blood drops.
Yeah,
like I need all
back.
My.
Do you put your activities in your
what activities?
Adams?
There's everything I do all day.
Yeah, they have this.
I put in races, I think.
I would put it in races and I would put in like...
Sometimes I put in the gym locations.
Yeah,
times
gym location.
The gym.
Yeah.
I still have that in, even though our gym's terminated.
Yeah, I don't have that right now.
I should take that out.
Change that. whereabouts failure over here?
I'm so used to going to the gym now. We don't have a gym anymore.
Yeah, what's the deal? Are you guys just getting so weak with lifting weights?
We're getting weaklings. We're weaklings now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But who is the Australian Athlete Commission?
Henry, the long jumper.
Henry Fay. Yeah. Is that, Fay? F-A. I know Henry. I can't pronounce his last name. Fay. Henry Fay. He was good. He's retired now.
He's only a lawyer.
He's only one athlete
from each country. So when Val terms out in 20, I think she terms out in like 2 years, you should run.
So right now she's chair.
She's chair.
What does she go after that?
I think she's termed out. So she has
surely
to go.
She'll try to stay in the system somehow.
She wouldn't be able to stay on the athlete commission.
Not athlete commission though.
Yeah. But I hope so. Like I want her to run for higher offices, but you should throw your name into the hat. It's really fun. And I think if you're an athlete who likes to think about the sport and likes to be involved in the sport, and you, especially if you have ideas, it's like everyone loves to complain. No one likes to have a solution. And if you are an athlete that thinks that way, Athletes Commission is awesome. And it's also just such a good first foray into the professional world. You get a lot of good life experience sitting in those rooms negotiating with the powers that be. Do it, George.
I could see you in that role.
Yeah, I could too.
All right, I'll think about it in a couple of years.
There you go.
I'll be hounding you.
Perfect. We figured out George's next career path. I think
very good.
It's a good time to wrap up because we've been talking for a very long time.
Great.
Got anything for us?
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. I'm just, as an old lady here, just so proud of you guys.
I don't like it how you use that old lady term. Old lady for me is 70s, 80s.
I mean,
no one's really old, really.
Yeah.
George is in his
20s. You guys are much younger than me.
I'm in my 20s.
Yeah, still. I'm not.
But I don't think being in your 30s is not old.
My
parents are old. They're 60s.
Yeah.
That's old, bro.
Sure, but I don't know.
Keep telling us we're young.
Yeah,
we enjoy it. You guys are so young. Man, to go back in time and be at the height of your career, just fucking enjoy it. It's so good.
We are doing our best.
Thank you, Aisha. Thank you for coming on the pod. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a lot of discussion about everything, actually.
Yeah. Really, thanks everyone for tuning in.
Yeah.
Go watch Morgan, maybe right now.
Yeah.
Whenever it is.
Happy Thanksgiving as well.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
All right. Next time. See you next week.
You guys are just so much more professional than we are.
We don't look at when we do this.
Terrifying to me.
Well, that's Morgan's little toy.